There is a din in the Mishnayos that whatever grows in a field which is hefker is not chayv in shumas and maisus. Nonetheless, there is a Yerushalmi which is quoted by the Rambam in Hilchos Maisus. Hazareas de hefker, if a person plants in a field which is hefker and something grows, is chayv in shumas and maisus. Only if it grows on its own. But if I planted it and it grows, then you are chayv in shumas and maisus. So the standard commentaries on the Mishnalmi, on the Yerushalmi interpret that the reason why Hazareas the Hefker is Chai B'Trumas and Maisis is because when you have a field which is Hefker, so you can be Zeichem and Hefker with a Kenyan Chazoka. So if you plant in the field, that constitutes a Kenyan Chazoka. So the field now belongs to you, so it's no longer Hefker. So the field is not Hefker. So whatever grows is Aroy Ashbach. So the pears belong to me because the field belonged to me. So Reb Chaim Soloveitchik quotes this Rambam with the Yerushalmi with the Pshat from the Pnei Moshe in his Sefer on the Rambam on Hilchos Malva V'Loiva. The Gemara later in the first parak, we're learning about Metzia this year, so the Gemara towards the end of the first parak talks about the din of Al Choyv Gobes HaShvach. So the Rambam has different opinions from everybody else. Al Choyv Gobes HaShvach, so Reb Chaim has a long essay on this in the Sefer. And this is part of the essay. So he doesn't agree with this pshat that's given by the Pnei Moshe. He says, when you plant a field, that's a chazoka in the sense of cheskes habatim shaloshanim. We often say that the Prima Godim has his general introduction to the Torah Shabbal Peh, which he calls psicha kalelis to orechaim. So in the general introduction to orechaim, which is really to the whole of Torah Shabbal Peh, he writes that the word chazoka appears in the Gemara with six different meanings that are unrelated to each other. So one of them is that karka is niktis b'chazaka. You kind of karka de chazaka. What's a chazaka? So the Gemara says, no, God, there are parats. If you put up a fence, or you put on a lock, or something like that. Or rafak bapurti, you dig a little bit. But planting peiris, that's cheskes habatim shaloshanim. That's a different din. Cheskes habatim shaloshanim is not at all necessarily the same as karka niktis b'chazaka. Then you have chazaka in on a pareh tochzmana, that means a ruba de leisa kamon. Then you have chazaka kamaisa, whatever it was before, the hemet lazim, they have a chazaka. Totally different meanings of the word chazaka. But just Reb Chaim concentrates on these two. So he says, just because planting peiris constitutes a cheskes habatim shaldoshanim, doesn't mean that it's a kinyan chazaka to be kind of the karka. He says, it's not true. It's not kind of the karka. So what's pshat in this Rambam who quotes this Yerushalmi Hazareis de Hefker? Chai b'chumas ha-maisris. So Reb Chaim interprets, the field remains hefker. In ad zechem and ha-hefker ha-idei planting, but the peiris belong to you. How did that happen? Normally, if I plant whatever grows in my field, belongs to me, because arei ashbach ha-karka sheli hishbiach. If the karka is mine, so the peiris that grow belong to me. Here the sod is hefker. And nonetheless, the peiris are mine. So Reb Chaim says, that's the pshat in Yerushalmi. Whoever creates shvach is koine that shvach. Since I was the one who planted it, it didn't grow on its own. I was the one who created the shvach. So that's a new halach. Whoever creates shvach is kind of the shvach. Where is there a pasuk on this? The Rav Soloveitchik, when he used to say over this, Rav Chaim commented, he said, the pasuk describes how Kodesh Baruch Hu is konei shamayim ba'oret. What do you mean, konei shamayim ba'oret? So Rashi, in his commentary on Chumash, writes two levels of interpretation. Kanei Shemayim words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, and Kanei Shemayim words, therefore he owns the world. So that you used to say that the second is dependent on the first. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, he created the world Yesh Me'ayin. We can't create Yesh Me'ayin, but whoever creates Shvach acquires ownership in that Shvach. So Rav Soloveitchik used to say that that's the pshat in the concept in the Gemara, in the end of Bava Kamma, the Gemara has a suffix, whether Uman Koine B'Shvach Kli, yesterday we were discussing the dinim of Tfilas Kelim. So on Yeridei and Siman Kuf Chav, they quote that it's some Rishonim hold that the Psak is Uman is Koine B'Shvakli. What does it mean? I give a piece of silver, a chunk of silver that's worth $100. The weight of the silver is worth $100. I give it to a non-Jew. And I ask him, please make a beautiful Becher for me. So he's an expert, he's a jeweler, and he makes a beautiful becher. Now instead of being worth $100, it's worth $700. So it appreciated in value $600 more than it was worth before. So the Gemara has a suffix, And the other Bava Kama is it that Uman is kind of Mishvach Kli, the Nochri, let's say it would be a Jew. I would give the raw material to a Jew. So do you say, Uman Koine Mishvach Kli, the $600, the Becher is now worth $700. And you say, the $100 that was mine, that's still mine. And the extra $600 belongs to the Uman who did the work. But he agreed in advance. I said, make me a Becher. And he said, I'll charge $100 to make you a Becher. So he agreed to sell me the $600 of Shvach for $100. Is that the deal? So when I pay the Uman for taking the raw material and making it into a Becher, it's really a Mekach. And if it's a Mekach, it's not Schiris Poelim, then it's not subject to the din of Biyomatit and Schare. Special din of Biyomatit and Schare is only if it's a salary that I have to pay for Ispeteris Schiris Poelim. A love who knows Eyes Nafsho, the Chumash says. Special din, Schiris Poelim, because people work hard. So should I say, Umen Koine Mishvach Kli, and I'm really buying up the $600 extra value that he acquired ownership of, he agreed to sell it to me for $100. That's not a din of Oinor. Oinor means if someone fools the other one into believing that that's how much it's worth. If I fool him into believing that the Becher is only worth $200 now, before the raw silver was worth $100, now the Becher is worth $200, and I'm only going to pay him $100 to buy the $100 extra. So if I fool him into believing like that, that would be an issue of Oinor. But here, no one's fooling anybody else. He knows better than I know that the Becher is now worth $700. And he agreed, and the $600 extra dollars belonged to him. He agreed to sell it to me for $100. So take it or leave it. That was the agreement that we made up in advance. So there's no issue of Oinor. Let's say I have a Gemara. The Gemara is a used Gemara. It's written on and so on. It's not worth so much. I say, I want $100 for the Gemara. Take it or leave it. You know it's not worth. I know you know it's not worth $100. But if everybody knows, and I say I want $100 for it, take it or leave it. So there's no issue of Oinor. So the Gemara has this suffix. Should I say Umen Koine Mishvach Kli? And when the Balabayis pays the $100 to the Umen for making the Becher, it's the Meha Mekach. He's buying the extra $600. So then it would not be subject to the din of Biyomatit and Schara. Or should you say, no, ein umen koine mishvakli, he's not koine the extra shavius, and since the $100 of the raw material belongs to me, so you say, aroy ashbach, my raw material that was originally worth $100 now became worth $700. So the extra $600 belonged to me, and I agreed to pay you $100 for your services, for the services rendered. So it's b'teres chiris perlem. If it's b'teres chiris perlem, then it would be subject to the din of biyomatit mischar. So the Gemara has a suffix. So most of the Rishonim assumed that we paskin ein umen koine mishvach kli, it's b'teres chiris perlem, and there was a minority opinion that was quoted in Shulchan Aruch that said we do paskin umen koine mishvach kli. This was quoted with respect to Tfilas Kelim. The question was, if a Jewish person asks a non-Jew to make the Becher, so do you say that the $100 of raw material belongs to me, but now the Becher, that's the extra $600 value that it appreciated, belongs to the non-Jew if I hired a non-Jew to do it for me. So this Becher once belonged to the non-Jew, so now the Jew is buying up the Becher from the non-Jews. You have to do Tfilas Kelim. Or should you say, Ein umen koine mishvach kli, the Becher belonged to me, Aroy Ashbach, and now it's worth $700, and I pay him b'teres chiris poelim, and the non-Jew never owned the kli. So the non-Jew never owned the kli. So there's no need for Tfilas Kelim. So in Shulchan Aruch they say you should be toivel the kli b'li bracha, because it's a sveka d'dina. There was a minority opinion that v'choshish for the umen koine mishvakli. So Rav Soloveitchik always used to quote this. Ah, you see, umen koine mishvakli, you see that whoever creates the shvach is koine the shvach. The problem with his quoting was that Rav HaRishonim hold ein umen koine mishvakli. So what is he quoting? The wrong mandomar? That was the opinion that was outvoted. So Rav Lezer Shach was a Rebbe in Ponovich Yeshiva for many years. And Panavish Rav had a policy that all the rabbis have to take a sabbatical every couple of years in order to write a sefer, publish a parish. But that's because of the Panavish Rav. That's where Rav Shach put out all the svarim on the Rambam. That's where Rav David Pavarsky also put out. He took his sabbaticals and he put out his svarim on his sabbaticals. So Rav Shach has in one of his svarim, there's a problem with the Rambam in Hilchas Me'ilo. Commenting on the Gemara in Maseches Mila. Maseches Mila is a very difficult Masechta. Doesn't fit in with all the other Masechtas in Seder Kochim, Sayyotze Doifen. So there is a problematic Rambam where the Rambam sounds like he paskins umekainim b'shvakli, the Rambam usually assumes ein umekainim b'shvakli. And in Hilchas Meila, the Rambam seems to hold umekainim b'shvakli. The Rambam is talking there about a person did work for Hegdash. He painted the Beis Hamikdash. They decide the Beis Hamikdash needs a new painting. So he paints the Beis Hamikdash. So how is he going to collect the salary? What the Gizbar Shel Hegdash has money sitting around. All the money is Hegdash. He's going to give him money. So how is it go to Lechulin? So the Rambam quotes a line from the Gemara that if someone will do some work for Hegdash, so that extra value, the Hegdash originally was worth $100. Now it's worth $700. So that extra amount is chol. That's not Kodesh. So Rav Shach says, but we paskin eino mekayin mishvakli. How come the Rambam contradicts himself? So he says the answer really is, like Rav Soloveitchik said, that we paskin uman is kayin mishvakli. The Gemara was concerned there's a conflict over here. On the one hand, whoever creates the shvach should be kayin the shvach. So the uman created the shvach, so he should acquire the extra $600 of value. On the other hand, the original raw material of the silver belonged to the balabas, the $100 belonged to him, so I should say, Aroy Ashbach. So we really hold whenever there's a conflict, Uman Kain Mishvachli should take precedence. But it's self-understood that the Uman has in mind not to be Kain. It's assumed, it's an Umdana that he's Mavater, he doesn't want to be Kain. He doesn't want to be Kain, it's not Kain Bal Korchoy. But if someone is doing work for Hegdash and the only way for him to collect the salary is to insist on Uman Kain Mishvachli, so of course he's going to have in mind that he should be kind of b'shvakli. So that's what Rav Shach says. Meikarad did it, then really is. Uman is kind of b'shvakli. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik used to quote that din in the Gemara. Even though we don't pass on like that, la locha, in Hilchas Tvilas Kalim, the Machab quoted, there was Yesh Omrim, there was a minority opinion that you pass on Uman kind of b'shvakli, but the majority hold that ain't Uman kind of b'shvakli. Rav Shach says, no, Meikarad did it, din really is. Uman is kind of b'shvakli. And it's only an umdina that he's mevater. And in a case where the umdina is that he's not mevater, otherwise he won't be able to collect the salary, then we revert back to the ikar din that uman is kain mishvakli. This whole interpretation of uman kain mishvakli is on the assumption, like the mechaber quoted in the Hilchas Tefilas Kelim, that is to be taken literally, that the uman is kain mishvakli. The raw silver originally was worth $100, now the bechel is worth $700. So the $600 that it's worth extra, that's nikna, the one who creates the shvach is kind of the tzais ha-choshen, and choshen mishpot, and the simen of shibudim, when he talks about shibudim and apaitikis, he says no one ever meant that in the first place. No one ever thought in the Gemara that uman kind of mishvachli, the extra $600 belong to the uman. Of course it's aroy yashbach, the $100 of the raw material belong to the balabas. And Aroy Ashbach, Akarka Shali Hishbiach, so the extra $600 belonged to the Balabas. The Gemara just meant to say that unlike usually there's only Shiva Nechosim on Karka, there's no Shiva Nechosim on Metaltlim, but if the Loibe gives a Mashkin to the Malve, then you say Balcho Kone Mashkin. Then the Gemara says in Sochem Daf Lamed Aleph that there's even a stronger Shiva Nechosim on a Mashkin, the Tachos Yara Malve, than there is on Karkos. Balchov Kanamashkin is a stronger Shiva Nechos. So the Ktsoy says that's all it meant. All the Gemara meant to say by Yom Kodem Shvach Kli, that maybe the extra Shvach is treated like a Mashkin. But it's not that he's really kind of the BN of the $600. The Pashtus in the Gemara is not so. The Pashtus in the Gemara is that it's a Mekach. I'm buying up the $600 from the Uman. And it's the Meha Mekach, and it's not Tzchiris Poelim at all. And that's why it says in Yerudea Asvara that you need Tfilas Kelim, that the Kli, that's now the extra $600 of the Kli, there's a Shut Vesakum, $100 of the Kli belongs to the Balabas, and the extra $600 belongs to the Nochri. So when I buy it up from the Nochri, I need Tfilas Kelim. The simple Pshat in Shulchan Aruch is like Rav Soloveitchik said, and like Rav Shachar. Rav Soloveitchik used to add on, based on this, that the Rambam and Hilchas Talmud Torah quotes from the Gemara in Kiddushin that there's a din of Kvod HaRav and there's a din of Mor Rabach Kemor Shamayim. Kvod HaRav is by any Talmud Chacham and Mor Rabach Kemor Shamayim is by Rabbi Muvak. So it's a special din, Kovod Square. There's a din of Kibbut Aviyim and a din of Mor Aviyim. So Moira means even more than Kovod, a higher degree of Kovod, like Moira HaMelech. Shetehe, same tos malach mel, shetehe imasa alecha, ema means extra kavod. Like there's a din of kavod beis haknesses and there's a din of moira hamigdush. Moira hamigdush means it's kavod squared, the extra degree of kavod. So the Rambam quotes the Gemara that if a Talmud has a Rebbe Muvik, so the Lashon HaGemara is called Malacha She'Eved also the Rabbi, Talmud also the Rabbi. Any Malachas that an Eved would do for his Adon, who bought him, who owns him, so the Talmud is Mechuyev to do these services for the Rebbe. The Gemara tells that the Talmidim would carry the towel to the bathhouse after the Rebbe, Mamish Mesham the Rebbe. So what kind of a Lashon is that called Malacha She'Eved also the Rabbi? Talmud also the rabbi, if a person is an Eved, the Odom owns him. So of course he has a right to insist that the Eved should do services to him. That the Rebbe owned the Talmud. Rav Soloveitchik used to say, yes, that's a din of woman kind of mishmachli. The Rebbe took a dumbbell, he took a student who was empty in his mind, and he made him into a Torah personality. So there's woman kind of mishmachli. The human being, he was a human being before, and the Rebbe made him into a Torah personality. So the Rebbe owns a shutfis in the Talmud, like an Eved, just like the Odin owns the Eved, so the Rebbe owns, in a certain sense, part of the Talmud. So, Kol Malacha She'Eved also the Rabbi, Talmud also the Rabbi. So there is, okay, so this is Rab Chaim's interpretation in the Rambam, quoting the Rishalmi, Hazarez, the Hefker, Chai, Betrumas, and Mises, because whoever creates Shvach Bien acquires ownership of that Shvach Bien. Is this relevant halacha lamaisa? However you take the Yerushalmi, the Pnei Moshe learned the Yerushalmi not so. Pnei Moshe learned Hazreis Dei Hefker, Yekoina Desat. Rab Chaim didn't think that was correct. So there is a Gemara, this already Nogea, very much halacha lamaisa. If you read a Shidduch to someone, are you entitled to get Shatchanis? So everybody assumes that's kosher fadin to gelt, that the shatchan is entitled to. So if I go to a professional shatchan and I say, please get a shidduch for my child and I'm going to pay you whatever is the going rate, then he has a catalog and he has it. If the girl is 45 years old and I get a shidduch, I get more. The girl is 18 years old, I get less. And it depends who the chassan is, a top guy, nishiva, shvacha guy. So if he has a whole catalog, so of course I made up in advance. What if a guy read the shidduch, they didn't make up anything in advance? So that's a big discussion. So the discussion goes like this. There is a Gemara in Bava Metzia, Kuf Aleph Amud Aleph, also appears in Ksubas Daf Pei Amud Aleph, says on the side, Hayor L'Tel Sado Shal Chaveir Shalor B'Shus. You're away on vacation for a year in Eretz Yisrael. You don't know what's happening. You have a field in New Jersey. And I go and I build a whole hotel on your field. And now the field used to be worth $100,000. Now it's worth $5 million. Because of the hotel. Or I planted something, and the thing is blossoming, I planted trees and stuff, and it's the karka is worth much more. So the halacha says, and even I didn't ask you, I wasn't hired, you didn't hire me to do the work, the din is that you have to pay me something. The Gemara has a whole discussion, exactly how much do you have to pay me? Complicated the cheshbonos. So Tosis is bothered with Akasha. Tosis in Ksubis in the last perek, is bothered with Akasha. And Perek Shnei Dain Exeris. On Daf Kuf Ches Omer Al. Here on Kuf Zain Omer Beis, Taisus has the Akasha, and then they continue Kuf Ches. And the same Taisus appears in Perek HaKoines, in Bava Kama, that there is a Mishnah there in the end of Ksubis, HaParei Achor B'Shal Chaveiroi. If somebody owes money to somebody else, and the Malva is threatening to go to Bezen, and the Loiva is not around. The Loiva is in South Africa, and there are no telephones. It can't get in. So the Malva is threatening he's going to go to Bezen. He's going to confiscate the property of the Loiva in payment for the debt. So I feel bad that my neighbor should lose his house. So I go and I pay the Malva. I lay out the money for the Loiva. I pay the Malva. So there's a whole discussion in the Mishnah is, does he have to reimburse me or not? Why should one Tana hold that he has to reimburse me? So the assumption is Schiris Poelim. Even though he didn't ask me to pay the money on his behalf, but it's an umdiv in the Muchach, he doesn't want to lose his home, he doesn't want to lose his factory, he doesn't want to lose his business, and the Malva is threatening to go to Bezin and to take everything away. So I did a toiva to him. So how much is the toiva worth to the loiva? It's worth however much money I laid out for him. That's how much it's worth. So one Tana holds, he didn't schiris perlim. He has to pay me all of the money. He has to reimburse me all the money that I laid out for him. And we pass, and you don't have to pay. That's called mabrich hari minichse chaveiro, is patam elishalim. There was a lion that was going to come and attack your property, and I protect your property. I chase away the lion. So hamabrich hari minichse chaveiro is patam elishalim. So Tosus asks Akasha, why is Mavriach Ari Potem Elishalim? Pasha Pshat is because we assume la halacha that the chiyuv to pay schiras poelim only applies if the balabais requested of the poel to do the work for him. If he didn't ask him to do any work, the poel did the work unsolicited, so there's no din of schiras poelim. So that's Tosus Kasha. So why is Hayorah the Tosar Shachaver Shalot Bishus the Hishbicha? Why is he chayv to pay? That's what Tosus, that's the kasha Tosus is working on. So Tosus has two terutzim, both in Perek HaKoines and Bava Kamma, as well as on Daf Kuv Zayin and Kuv Ches. So one answer Tosus gives is that HaPareh HaChoyv Shal Chaveiroi, the Loive can say, oh, you're a fool. Who told you to pay the Malva the money? If I would have been, I would have negotiated, I would have chiseled it down, I would have drayed him so long till he would have been, I would have butted him up until he would have been Mavat, he would have been Moichel the whole day. Okay, so you did. Let's say I was away, and my house is in good condition, and you painted the house. Do I have to pay for painting the house? Of course not. I wouldn't have painted the house. I didn't need a painting. I'm not a millionaire that I paint the house every year. I paint the house every 5 years when it looks bad. So I paint the house. You wanted to be just so. You're a rich person. You like to paint every year. I'm not interested in that. So that for sure I don't have to pay. The service is rendered that I didn't ask you to do, and I don't really need it, so of course I don't pay you. So Tosus has one answer. It depends. If it's an umdir in the muchach that the person would have, if he would have been here, he would have really requested of me to do that work for him because it was really essential. Let's say you have a balchoyv doichek. The malve is a guy, he's not going to chisel down anything. He's not going to let me dray him a cup. It's the bank or whatever. A goyish bank. They're not going to let me chisel out the government. They're not going to let me get away with anything. So then, haprei chov shel chaver would be chayv to pay. But if the malve is a boss of a dumb and is an easygoing guy, so then the loiv can say, I would have asked them, and he would have been mavater. So Tosus says, if so, in the days of the Balei Tosus, they used to have a problem. There used to be pirates all over Europe who would kidnap people and hold them prisoner until the family would pay ransom money. So let's say a Jew was kidnapped, and his family is wealthy, and they say to the family, we're not going to release the man from prison unless you pay $500,000. So someone lays out the money. So Tosus says, it's an umdir in the muchach, that the guy would be happy to pay $500,000 in order to gain his freedom. And he's miserable there sitting in captivity. So in such a case, Tosus says, to be put him in Ashivya, Asvar no senes that that umdir in the muchach that everyone would be happy to ask someone to get them out of the captivity. So then you do have to pay, even though I didn't ask the person to do the pula for me. It's self understood I would have wanted it. So the Ramah in Shulchan Aruch paskens like that, both in Yeridei and Hilchas Pidyon Shvuyim and Achosha Mishpat in the Siman about Tzchiras Poyalim. He says if they were paid to someone min Ashivya, so then it's an umdir in the muchach that he would have wanted it, so he has to pay back every penny that I laid out for him, because that's an umdir in the muchach that he would have asked me to do the pe'ula. So based on that, there are more paskins in the Choshe Mishpot that if somebody reads a shidduch and the fellow is happily married, so it's an umdir in the muchach that he would have been willing, sometimes yes, sometimes no. Let's say modern people today, they meet girls on their own. So the guy can say, I didn't need your help. I would have gone out until I would have met the right girl. But let's say if you live in a society where no one meets girls on their own, everyone is always set up. So then it's an umdin in the muchach. He's happily married now, so it's an umdin in the muchach. He would have been happy to pay the shatchen to read the shidduch. The other day in Tosfos is not so. The other opinion in Tosfos is that mabriach hari minichsech haveiroi is patam elishalem is not because he could have drayed and he could have said I would have convinced the malva not to collect and so on. That's what Yerushalmi says. But Tosfos says the Bavli perhaps doesn't hold like that. The reason why mavriach hari is patam because the only time yechayv schiras poelim is if the balabais requested of the poel to do the work. Whenever the balabais didn't make such a request, So he's not mechuyif to pay a penny. What's with the Gemara? Hayored shelo b'shus v'hishbicha. So Tosfos answers on the bottom of Kuf Zayin and Beis in Ksubas. Tosfos answers, Hosam hashvach b'yenhu v'dinu sheyito. The shvach b'yen. So the Pnei Yeshua points out that's the other. There are two shitas. Pnei Yeshua says, don't skim over this. There are two basic shitas over here. The other opinion is that the only time the Baal HaBayis has to pay the poyel for improving his property, because the field used to be worth $500,000. Now that you built the hotel, it's worth $5 million. The property is not worth $5 million. So because the shvach b'yen, you become a shut of your kind, and the shvach b'yen that you created. And you don't say, Aroy Ashbach, I beat you out. You say, no, the one who creates the shvach b'yen is kind. That's like Rav Shach said. Is because we assume that he's mavater, he has a mind not to be kind. But if he doesn't have a mind not to be kind, they never made up anything in advance, then whoever creates the shvach is taka kainah that shvach. So if we say like that, then it comes out whenever there's no shvach b'yen. Let's say they were paid to somebody min ashivya. So Yosha dictates that the guy should pay. He laid out $500,000 in order to redeem me. Yosha dictates that I should pay, but I'll pay din. I don't have to pay him a penny. And if someone reads me a shidduch, there is no shvach b'yen. I'm happily married. That's wonderful. But there's no shvach b'yen. Nothing improved, nothing appreciated in the value that you can say that the one who creates the shvach is kind in the shvach. So the Pnei Yeshua points out, in the end of Ksubas, notice that there are two fundamental shitas over here. Rabbi Baruch Ber, in his Sefer B'chashmuel on Bava Metzia, quotes that Rabbi Chaim thought we should paskan like that opinion. He thought we shouldn't paskan like the Ramah, who says that if someone read a shidduch, or if someone was paid them in Ashivya, like that. In Tosfos, that's the major opinion, that you paid them in Ashivya, that you have to pay because it's an umdar and muchach that he would have wanted it. So you become, there is a din of schiras poilim, even though I never agreed in the first place. Rabbi Baruch Ber quotes, Rabbi Chaim thought not so. That's like Rabbi Chaim Lishitosa. He thought that that's pshat in this Yerushalmi. The Hazares, the Hefker, is koina, the peiris, not koina, the karka. Karka is nicknames b'chazaka, but zriya is not called the kinyan hazaka. Where we create shvach b'yen is koina dat shvach. So this is the background, this luchar is the background of the whole idea of copyrights. Here we're talking about real shvach b'yen. Umen koinem b'shvachli, he took raw material, he took silver, and he made it into a becher. So instead of being worth $100, the item is now worth $700. It appreciated in value $600. It is room to say the shvach b'yen is nicked into the one who created the shvach. As a rest, the hefker, something is growing. Or hayored tosa chaver shalob b'shus v'hishbicho, so the thing is worth more. So here we have another kind. Here they're talking, there is no object b'yen. Someone wrote a book. Someone wrote a text of a book. And it's a very entertaining book. It's a very educational book, whatever. Or somebody made a tape of 15 nigunim. And people enjoy it. So he created this shvach. He created this. It's not a tangible thing. The tape that's his is his. But I'm not stealing the tape. I'm making a copy from the tape. Or the book, I'm not stealing his book. The book is available in the library. I take the book and I make a Xerox copy of the whole book. I make 1,000 copies of the whole book and I start selling his book. So who says that it belongs to him? So the Achronim wrote 100, 150 years ago, they wrote that midrabbanon, there's such a thing. That just like one who creates shvach, tangible shvach b'yen, acquires ownership of that shvach b'yen min ha-toiros. So here midrabbanon, there's a din that whoever creates shvach is entitled. He owns that shvach. He can't say shvach b'yen. Let's see, he developed a certain system on a computer, and therefore it's easier to calculate your taxes or to figure out the answers to whatever problems you have. So whoever created this shvach, which is not shvach b'yen, owns it midrabbanan with respect to the right to make money on it. Let's say I have in my basement. I don't have a basement. Let's say if I were to have a basement, I have 500 chairs in the basement that I never use. And even if I live to the age of 350, I'm never going to use all those chairs. What am I going to do with all the chairs? And if someone's going to walk off with 100 chairs, I won't even notice that anything's missing. I never go into the basement. But that's a din of lo sigzo. beyond the chairs, and even if someone's going to take it, not going to cause an upset to me at all, that's a din of loy sigzal. Here, this din, midirabbanon, the achrayim say midirabbanon, that one who came up with the chiddush, someone gave lectures, or someone gave shiur, so he has this shvach, it's not shvach b'yen, he came up with these ideas. So he owns the ideas with respect to the right to making money. So let's say a person has chidushim, secular chidushim, chidushim, whatever, and he says, gamli gamloch lo yeh. I don't want anybody to print my chidushim. I'm not interested in making money, but I don't want anybody else to make money either. So that he has no right to say. There is no tangible gzeila. But a person owns his chidushim, he owns his ideas, midirabbanon, with respect to having the right to make money on them. So let's say a person gave lectures or gave shiurim and came up with a disc, a tape, a nigan or something, or a system on a computer, and he made copies of it and he wants to sell copies. So as long as he still has copies, if I'm a potential customer, I would be willing to pay $20 to buy the tape or $20 to buy the book. It's worth it for me. So then it's a gzeila if I'm going to make a copy on my own to steal from him, because he owns that with respect to the right to make money. Let's say he already sold out all the copies of the book that he has, and he doesn't plan to reprint the book in the next couple of years. So he's not going to make money anyway. So then the pashta says that there is no. He can't say, he has a copyright, gamli gamloch lo yeh. I can't make money on it. I don't have any copies of the book, but I don't want you to make a copy either. What do you mean? There's no gzeila. You're not being mafsed him. He doesn't have any copies to sell me. Or let's say he already sold out all the copies of the tape or whatever. Or let's say this computer system is so expensive, it's out of the question. I would never pay to buy this system. System costs $500. I'll spend an extra day. Whenever I do my work, I'll spend an extra day or an extra 5 hours and I'll calculate it without the system. If I would have had the system, I would have saved 5 hours of work. But it's lo bo b'cheshbon, it's way too expensive for me to, I'm not a potential customer. So then I'm not really being mafsid him any money. So the pashta says in such a case, it's not considered gezel. It's only considered gezel midirabbanon if I was really a potential customer. There is a... this of course is if the person did the chiddush on his own. Let's say Art Scroll pays people. Last year, somebody took all the Hebrew Art Scrolls and put everything on the internet. So whoever wanted to could load down anything they want. So you don't have to pay for any Art Scrolls. You can load down the whole shas. So it was obvious that it was done from the library of Meir Shorim, because every couple of pages there's a stamp on it that said the library of Meir Shorim. So they contacted the guy from the library and they asked him who was the one who borrowed every single book and broke all the bindings in order to print it. So he didn't want to say. He said it's Mesira. Mesira to the Israeli police was the Mesira. So they finally got Rabbi Yashiv a few months before he died. Rabbi Yashiv said they're mechuyev to tell the police who the Ganav was, and they finally caught the guy and they insisted he should take it off the internet. So there, since the people who do the work for Art Scroll are salaried by Art Scroll, so not that they're koina, they don't acquire the ownership of their chidushim. That's yad poel ki yad balabai. So the Gemara says of sachru lelaket metzias. The Gemara in the first paragraph above metzias says, if I pay someone a salary to go look on the beach to see there are always shipwrecks and there are always valuable things that are falling up or people drop things in the sand, jewelry sometimes. So if I pay someone to help me go look through everything in the sand in order to see if there's anything valuable, so then Metzias Poel goes to the Balabais, because that's what I hired him for. So here also, Art Scroll is paying salary to all of these people that they should do all the work for them. So whoever's paid by IBM, I have a daughter who works for IBM, I think she probably has 1,000 patents on different things. My daughter's a genius. So all of her patents belong to IBM. It doesn't belong to her because she was salaried. So that's Yad Poel Ki Yad Balabais. That belongs to them. So that's why Art Scroll had a taina that all of these chidushim, whatever work was done for them, they paid. So that's a din, Yad Poel Ki Yad Balabais. So it was Gezel from Art Scroll. There is a machlekes, the Rambam and the Raivin, Hilchos Shluchim Meshutfim. In Perek Dalin, Hilchos Shluchim Meshutfim. So the Rambam says, let's say two shoemakers make an agreement to barbers make an agreement. I'm in one neighborhood, you're in the other neighborhood. You can never tell who's gonna do well this year, who's gonna do poorly this year. So we both make up together whatever earnings we'll make in the course of the year, we'll divide 50-50. Shine. So the Rambam says such an agreement is not binding because we make the agreement at the beginning of the year. Because I don't know whether you'll do better than me or I'll do better than you. So we both make up, we'll divide 50-50. The Rambam says, but I didn't earn any money yet. So the money that I didn't earn is a dovish labo liyolam, so I can't be makne half of the money to you. If it's ready the end of the year, so then everybody has the money that they earn, so then I can be makne the money to someone else. But at the beginning of the year, no one earned anything yet, so the Rambam says you can't make a kinyan on a dovish labo liyolam. The Raivid disagrees with the Rambam, and the Raivid says, what do you mean? You never heard of a person selling himself as an eved? So here, each one sells himself. I sell you half of myself. So some are masig on the ravid. What do you mean? You're talking about two Jewish people. And the Gemara says in Bob Mitzi and Perak Azov, Ein eved ribi noig al bizman shal yovel noig. Bizman hazeh, the yovel is not noig. There's no din of eved ivri. So how can the ravid write, you never heard of a din of eved ivri? So first of all, when the Rambam quotes that din in Hilchas Shmita v'Yovel, Ein Eved Ivri Noig Ala Bizman Shel Yovel Noig, that's a Gemara. So the Rambam writes the normal pshat. Bizman Shein Yovel Noig, you simply can't have an Eved Ivri. The Ravid has a whole different pshat over there. It doesn't mean that there's not. There is a din of Eved Ivri, but certain details don't apply. So the Ravid Lushitosa, it could be that there's no problem. But even without that, Barman Dain, the Ravid didn't mean to say that the two shoemakers or the two barbers made up, I'll be an Eved Ivri to you. I'm selling myself half Eved Ivri. I'm not selling myself as an Eved Ivri. The Ravid just meant to prove the point. There's a famous essay by Rab Zevin. Years ago, Rab Zevin was a prominent Talmud Chacham. He was the original editor of the Encyclopedia Talmudit, the first 10 volumes or so. Then after he retired and after he passed away, then now it's a totally different type of an encyclopedia. Now they have every single Mar Malkam under the sun. He wrote just general essays, not so detailed. So Rav Zevin has in one of his several of his beautiful Svarim, one sefer is called the Or HaLacha, a collection of essays on miscellaneous topics. He used to write every week for HaTzofet, for the Mizrahi newspaper. I don't think it exists anymore. I think HaTzofet went out of business. Mizrahi went out of business. Mizrahi doesn't exist anymore. So the newspaper doesn't exist either. So he used to write every week either a book review or an essay. So he has three volumes collected book reviews. They're all knockout book reviews. And then he has one volume, Lo'or HaLacha, collected essays. Says one of the essays is famous. The title of the essay is Mishpat Shylock. Does the halacha recognize such a thing? Do I own my body that I should be able to be mishabed myself, to be makdan to you, a pound of flesh? Does a person own his body? So he quotes all the sources from the Baal HaTanya Shulchan Aruch and from the Radvaz al Rambam and other sources. A person does not own his body. I own my clothing, I own my apartment, I own my furniture, I own my library, but a person doesn't own his own body. So here the Ravid writes, there's a little bit of an exception to the world. A person owns his body with respect to the ability, with respect to the right to make money. That he does earn. So the Ravid says, I'm not selling myself as an Eved Ivri. Bizman she'ein yovel noig, Eved Ivri is not noig. To sell yourself as an Eved Ivri, see, that's, the Gemara has a whole discussion, how are you kind of an Eved Ivri? When a person wants to sell himself as an Eved Ivri, how are you kind of? How does he become an Eved Ivri? So the Bnei Yeshua asked the Kasha, there is a machlokes, Rashi and Taisus in the first parak in Kiddushin, we say, Avodim Hukshula Karkois. Does that only by an Eved Kenaini, or does it even apply to a Ben Chori? So Rashi holds it even applies to Ben Chori, and Taisus says only by Avodim Hukshula Karkois. So Bnei Yeshua asked the Kasha and the Gemara. The Gemara raises the question, how does a person sell himself as an Eved Ivri? So what's the Shaila? According to Taisus, with kinyoni metaltalim, and according to Rashi, with kinyoni karka. If avonim hukshula karkois, even b'nei charen hukshula karkois, he can sell himself with kinyoni karka, and according to Tosis, kinyoni metaltalim. So they quote from the Biskurov, the teretz, a simple teretz. When I have a watch and I sell you the watch used to belong to me, now it belongs to you when I have a house. The house existed before, now it exists, it used to belong to me, I sell it to you. When I sell myself an Eved Ivri, I'm creating a new thing that didn't exist before. Before I sold myself as an Eved Ivri, I don't own myself as an Eved Ivri. What, I'm a shuvah to myself and I'm allowed to give myself a shivcha kninus? What are you talking about? I don't. I'm not an evidivi to myself. When a person sells himself as an evidivi, he's creating a new chepze that didn't exist before, a new thing of an evidivi. So that's the Gemara's question. How does a person sell himself to become this new, to acquire this new status of an evidivi with all the special deen? The Rabbit is just proving from the fact that there exists. Dr. Belkin put out a book years ago, In His Image, about Salam Alekim, a Hashkofa book. So in the footnotes in the book, he says, the answer to the Rabbit Kasha on the Ramam is that Bizman Sheina Yevel Naget, every is not knowing. The Pashta says that that's not correct. The Rabbit is just coming to prove from the fact that a person is Mansha Yevel Naget, a person has the ability to sell himself as an every. That's the Rabbit's right, that even though I don't own myself, I only own my property, but I do own myself with respect to the right to earn money. So that's what the Rabbit says. You can, maybe Bizman Hazeh, you can't sell yourself as an evidivi. But here, the two shoemakers or the two barbers are not selling each one to the other one as a half evidivi. No, he's not making an evidivi. I own myself with respect to the right to make money, so I'm selling part of my ownership to you. I'm selling 50% of that ownership to you. In fact, there's a discussion in a recent Paskin from 100 years ago in Europe about Heter Iska. You're not allowed to charge interest. So if I would have left my money in a savings account, I would have earned interest. If I would have invested in a business, I would have earned dividends. I'm giving you a loan, interest-free loans. I'm losing money over here. So in the Middle Ages, they developed this whole idea of a Heter Iska. What does a Heter Iska mean? I'm giving you $100,000 as a loan. So I say, it's not a loan. I want you to invest it wisely, and I want you to make a lot of profit on it. And you can take part of the profit for yourself because you're using your brains. I'm giving you the money, and you're investing it wisely. You're running and investing and taking out and putting into another. Whatever you're going to do is your ASIC. And make sure that you give me 5% dividend on it, and all the rest you can keep. And if the taka goes down in value, so I'll lose all of my money. But I don't want to lose my money. So the deal is, I want you to invest it wisely, whatever you do, and I want you to give me the dividends from my... You're investing the money for me. And whatever is extra, more than 5%, you can keep. And then the agreement is, in the event that you invested it poorly and you lost all the money, so you have to swear on a Sefer Torah that you invested it poorly and you lost all the money. And if you will later on, religious Jews don't like to swear even al ha'emes, if later on you'll decide you'd rather pay me back all the money with the 5% extra, making believe as if it did earn money rather than have to swear, so you can buy your way out. So that's usually assumed to be the heter iska. So what happens if you're lending money for haspakas hatalmidim? Let's say this is a student going to school and it needs $500 for food. It needs $500 for books. It costs him a fortune to buy books. See, when I give him the $500, he's not investing in anywhere. He needs the money. We know where the money's going. It's going down the drain. He's using the money to buy food, to buy clothing, and to buy the books. So what should I have to make a heter iska? It doesn't make sense to make a heter iska where the halva is for haspakas hatalmidim. There is no money over here that he's going to be investing. So one of the gedolim came up, so that's what the gedolim for a little over 100 years ago wrote like that. Whenever the halva is really for haspakas hatalmidim, it's not shaykh to talk about a heter iska. So one of the later gedolim after the First World War wrote, maybe there is, just like the Ravid says, that a person owns himself with respect to having the right to make money. So a person who's educated probably stands a chance of making more money than one who's not educated. If you have two people apply for a job, so one has a college degree, one doesn't have a college degree, so the one with a college degree probably stands a better chance of getting the job and making a better salary. So a person has the ability, so when I give you the $500, I'm not giving you a loan, I say, I want to buy a share in you. You have the ability, you own yourself with respect to the right to make money. The Rabbit said that's why the two shoemakers can make up an agreement. They're going to divide 50-50. Each one is makna himself, 50% of himself to the other guy with respect to the ability, with respect to the right to make money. So here, I can give you $500 to invest in you. Not that you're going to take the money and invest it in real estate or invest in whatever, something else. No, I'm investing in you and your value is going to go up. So I'm buying a share in you. That's what some of the gedolim have. So just like there's such a concept, according to the Ravid, that a person owns himself with respect to the right to make money. So this is, that's a din min haTorah. So here the Gedolim from 150 years ago came up with this idea midirabbanon. The non mekoris in the Gemara, they thought midirabbanon, we should assume that there should be such a concept as a copyright and a patent and a copyright, that whoever came up with the chiddush is entitled, owns this. It's not a davar sheyesh bo mamish, it's a intellectual property. It's an idea. The idea belongs to him with respect to the right to make money. If a person, let's say, has all his chidushim, and he says he doesn't want anybody to publish the chidushim, gamli gam lach lo yeh, not interested in making money, but I don't want anybody else to print it either. So that, it's not the same as all the 1,000 chairs that I have in the basement that I'm not using, that's I own a beer, and then that's gezel, even if I'm not going to, it's not going to make a dent at all in me. It's not going to cause me a hefset at all. If someone walks off with 100 chairs, I won't even notice that they're missing. Gezel is gezel. But over here, it's only gezel because the person owns the chiddush with respect to the right to make money. Over here, if he's not going to be making money, let's say if I'm not a potential customer, then the holding doesn't apply. I think that's the basis of the whole story. Okay? Tov. Tomorrow, what are we learning? Forgot, what's the topic? Dina the Malchus Adina, and paying taxes. Okay.